Only 106.7 The Fan. Right now, I am excited to get to the BetQL guest line and welcome in Tyler Dunn from Go Long, golongtd.com. Tyler, what's up, dude? How are you?
What's up, JP? Great to do a little home and home with you here, man. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I went on Tyler's podcast last week. He was in Ashburn a couple weeks ago, had this really cool Brian Robinson story, which I want to talk about. But let's start, dude, with what'd you make of the Hail Mary the other night?
Oh, my God. You know, guilty as charged. After Chicago went up, I had to assist with our three-year-old. You know, that's the witching hour. That's all dads and moms know.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, all right, you know, let's put the live chat to bed here and make a few final comments, go up, help out. And as I'm helping out, I just, you know, looked down at the phone, saw it was blowing up, and told Sonny, we got to hit pause on this witching hour. Unbelievable. Probably one of the absolute most absurd, ridiculous plays I've ever seen in my lifetime. And yeah, the future is bright in D.C.
Saying that, the Commanders are 6-2. Jaden just looks fantastic. What do you kind of think their ceiling is in an NFC that maybe the powers to be aren't Detroit has performed, but San Fran looks uneven. I don't know. What do you kind of make of the future in Washington? Going forward, we understand, but like this year?
They're Super Bowl contenders. I don't even think there's a shred of hyperbole to verbalize that. It's time. I mean, this is a team that can contend for a championship right now. I mean, we've seen this before, by the way. We've seen quarterbacks in their first and second year just completely take the league by storm. You know, I know Joe Burrow tore his ACL as a rookie, but, you know, his second year, he takes the team to the Super Bowl. C.J. Stroud a year ago was phenomenal. And I think you can make the case that this offense is just as good, if not better than those two, because it's so different. I mean, it was wild to just kind of walk around that Commander's locker room and see Jaden Daniels up front, up close. He's built so different than any quarterback in the NFL. You know, just tall, thin, like a 4x1 track sprinter. I think there's a reason Lamar Jackson lost, 15 pounds into this season. He gets into the open field, you can't catch him, and you combine that with an absolute hammer of a running back in Brian Robinson Jr., a legit wide receiver, one in Terry McLaurin, and that cannon of an arm. I mean, we all saw it just there. I mean, flick of the wrist at 60, 70 yards. This is a quarterback in an offense that is impossible to prepare for. So, yeah, I think they're contenders, and I don't think it's even a debate at this point because the NFC is so wide open, like you noted.
That's crazy to hear that, dude. Like, everybody in Washington just has such shock and PTSD from everything that's happened for so long that I really think people locally are, like, kind of scared to say the quiet part out loud. But it's night and day different.
But you know what? I think there were scouts around the NFL that saw that something really special in Jaden Daniels. Like, we all saw what he did at LSU, what he did in college, and we won the Heisman for a reason. But, you know, Bob McGinn does his draft series at Go Along here, and there were scouts that were unafraid to bring up the name Patrick Mahomes. I mean, as early as February and March of that whole draft process, and they said that his game is just special to that degree. And then you factor in the speed element and the athleticism that Mahomes just doesn't have. And there are many scouts around the league that were really flummoxed. Like, why is Caleb Williams discussed as the no doubt about a first overall pick when this guy has a higher ceiling? I think we're starting to see that now. I love Caleb Williams. This fourth quarter was great in its own right. And look, he really doesn't have that great of a coach, you know, offensive play caller coaching around him to maybe maximize his gifts. But I think that Jaden Daniels just proved in that game that he's the superior player, at least right now.
So switching, I think, you know, they've got the third best offense in the league if you're looking at points scored. And the defense all of a sudden is surging. The defense all of a sudden is 10th in points allowed. Is the defense good, or have they played some opponents that make you look good of late?
probably a little bit of all the above, right, JP? Like, I mean, let's see how this defense does against, you know, some of these other NFC contenders before we can just anoint them. But I'll say this, like, they signed these veterans like Bobby Wagner for a reason. Like, it's not just this blank canvas, we're going to roll with a bunch of first and second year guys and grow together. Like, I love the blend of experience and youth, you know, going on and paying for a Dorrance Armstrong. You know, when they went about free agency that way, they had all the money to spend, more than any team in the NFL. You know, part of me wondered, are they going to just go all in on one or two guys, make the big splash, win the press conference, or maybe they just kind of punt on this year? They kind of went in between, signing a lot of guys who can kind of be stewards for this Dan Quinn defense, yet not just completely killing the cap. And, you know, they're still so flexible to do whatever they want in future years. And I think we're seeing that was the right decision. Like, you can win now with these players while still kind of working in some youth. And you've got the right head coach. I mean, Dan Quinn, I mean, everybody there is hurting, I'm sure. But when I was spending a little time around the Commanders, players and coaches alike, they just couldn't say enough about him as the ultimate culture builder, right? There's that magic word we hear from every first-year head coach, but it just seems so real there. He knows how to empower players, how to make them feel like this is their team in every conceivable way. And it's one thing to kind of say it, but he walks the walk.
Yeah, Quinn has been really, really good. And, you know, I think a lot of people in Washington had culture fatigue, if you will, because that's what Ron promised to create and then didn't really create it. And then just if you're looking at resumes at the time of them being hired, it's like, okay, well, you hired an NFC South coach that got to a Super Bowl and lost. And, you know, Quinn and Ron both checked that box. So I think folks weren't excited about the hire here, maybe like they should have been, I guess. And they all wanted Ben Johnson. But what he has done since he got here is remarkable. And when you talk to people around the league about who Quinn is, his reputation as like a leader and people that just like can bring together wide groups of different focuses and attentions is pretty damn remarkable. They've struggled in the red zone. You talked about Brian Robinson and his story is incredible. That to me seems like it could be a real tripping up point as the season continues and they start playing better teams. Three of their next four are against the division. They got the Steelers in there. Then they play the Falcons late. How concerned are you about their red zone struggles?
Yeah, I think that a young quarterback, an offense still kind of breaking in, I mean, as well as they played, there's going to be a blind spot. And, I mean, I hate to use cliches, but, I mean, the NFL is a game of situational football. I mean, you've got to win on third down. You've got to win in the red zone. And this just seems to be something they're still trying to figure out. It helps to have a Brian Robinson Jr., though. I mean, I feel like if you get close, I mean, he just does have that nose for the end zone. You know, as we kind of sat down and got into, I mean, 2 years removed from taking a bullet to the knee, a bullet to the hip, it's unbelievable what he's been through in his life, and he really believes he kind of gained this superpower to the point where, man, I think he appreciates the fact that he's alive more than ever. Not that he didn't in the immediate aftermath of that all. I mean, he stayed up all night on his hospital bed because he didn't know what in the hell the doctor was going to tell him the next day. Like, can he walk? Can he run? Is football even a possibility? But I think he had some really hard conversations with coaches, with family members, and he's just now this season realizes, you know, holy hell, I'm lucky to be alive. Let's maximize the day. And he runs that way. And he got into all of that. So I think it starts there in the red zone. Like, God, if you can just get him a lane and get that read option going with Jaden Daniels, I mean, that's still so hard to defend wherever you are on the field. But it wouldn't hurt to have maybe a receiver, a tight end, somebody that can kind of step up and be that go-to guy down there as well.
Sure. We're talking with Tyler Dunn here from Go Long TD. You can check him out at Ty Dunn. Does a great job covering stuff all over the NFL. Just an old school reporter that digs into the information. I like it. Who is the best team in the NFC? Detroit?
I just love those Detroit Lions, man. Yeah, that group is just different. I was thinking about the Lions Sunday because not only the fact that they just, put, 50-plus on the Titans. I mean, that game was a laugher in its own right. But you see what Tyrique Stevenson's taunting the crowd, and obviously we all saw the video, and he's just giving up on the play, just quitting. And then Anthony Richardson is just pulling himself out of the game. It's just wild. Your franchise quarterback, the fourth overall pick, quitting on his teammates because he needs a breather. I mean, that's unbelievable. And then you've got Trevon Diggs. I mean, he's just kind of gallivanting down the field, skipping along, hopscotching, doesn't really get George Kittle's rumbling for 40, 50 yards. And then we all saw his comment, that I'm not even sure if I can say it on the radio here. It's just, I guess quitting is in vogue with this generation. It's hard to find guys who genuinely love the game, want to run through the nearest brick wall. This is like what they eat, sleep, breathe. I'm going to sound like an old curmudgeon, whatever, but it's true. I mean, coaches say it, players say it. And I think the Lions, more than any team in the league, have kind of developed that sixth sense for we're going to find a player who will never do anything like that. I mean, imagine Dan Campbell. How would he react to a Tyrique Stevenson, just talking to the fans, taunting the fans before a Hail Mary? He'd pull that seat off the plane and, like, ceremonially just, like, throw it into a dumpster fire and that player would be cut. I'd get to find a new hay home. So, yeah, I think the Lions, top to bottom, they knew what they were looking for day one when they took over, and now you're just seeing the fruits of that labor.
Who do you think's in bigger trouble, the Cowboys or the Giants?
Oh, my gosh.
Cowboys,
man,
had real expectations.
The Giants were definitely the team that I misread a little into this season because, Daniel Jones, we've seen so much of Daniel Jones. I get it. He is what he is. But living here in Buffalo, being around Brian Daboll, being around Joe Shane, how they go about building a team, it is very Lions-esque and knowing exactly what they're looking for. But you just if the quarterback, if we saw it last night. I mean, Troy Aikman's breaking it down. He just is afraid to pull the trigger up the sideline to Darius Slayton. A split second late, it's high, he gets hit. There's yards off the board. It's little moments like that that just add up constantly for Daniel Jones, and he hasn't really improved. For a veteran quarterback to make the mistakes he does, nothing else really matters that much then, right? Like if he's just going to miss open receivers and take a sack when he shouldn't be taking a sack, I get there's other issues going on around him, but you need to rise above at this point if you're Daniel Jones, and he just has not. So I think that's what surprises me the most. The Cowboys are just a joke, and they'll always be a joke because Jerry Jones is the owner. I mean, it still blows my mind. Like, the only two teams that haven't reached the NFC Championship game since 1995, the Cowboys and, obviously, the Redskins football team Commanders. And, the Commanders were able to remove the disease from the building, and we're seeing what that can do for them. Jerry Jones is always going to be around with Dallas, so Dallas is never going to contend. He'll find a way to screw it up.
It's remarkable how the, like, tours thing became a big story, even though they've been doing it and winning 12 or 13 games the last couple of years. I just think Dallas lost their physicality. I just don't think they're a very physical team anymore. And, dude, I think losing Dan Quinn hurts. You got Micah Parsons is out, and you know who they would have turned to last year, the last couple of years? Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler. Those guys are here now. Their offensive line, they can't run the ball. Biotis is gone. Who's the big tackle that went to the Jets? Like, they just lost a lot. And as they just continue to throw money at their skill positions, the strength of that team was both lines, and they've just gotten worse.
Totally. And it was all avoidable, JP. I mean, what a smart team does is, okay, you lose to Green Bay, not ideal, terrible finish, but you did win 12 games again. You've done it 3 years in a row. Right then, in that moment, if you're going to decide, okay, we're going all in, and those are the words Jerry Jones has used, right? Like, then find a way to get a deal done with Dak Prescott then, and then you sit down with him and say, okay, we want to figure out a way to win a Super Bowl now, so let's move your 2024 cap number down the road. Let's massage this cap situation, which every team does that's interested in winning the Super Bowl, and get CD Lamb done, and then go get you another weapon, or you know, get two or three pieces on the defensive side of the ball. This organization, they make more money than any sports franchise in the world, so they could find a way to move mountains if they wanted to. What I've been told, though, from people who have been around ownership, is that as Stephen Jones kind of gains power, like, he's terrified of dead money. He just doesn't want to pay people not to work. So that's why Mike McCarthy's a lame duck, and that's why they didn't go out and get pieces that could help them win a Super Bowl right now. And they have a few injuries to start this season, and now you're playing fringe NFL players. You're getting absolutely drilled on defense, giving up 40, 50 points. So they only have themselves to blame, and then there's brain drain, right? Dan Quinn, Joe Witt is an absolute stud. Yep. I covered him in Green Bay when he's a corners coach. I mean, he's great, so that doesn't help either.
AFC North, Steelers might have something with Russ now. The Ravens at their best are pretty damn good, but, dude, they lay eggs. You lose to the Raiders and the Browns in the first half of the season? At some point, is that on Harbaugh for not having his guys locked in all the time? What do you make of the AFC North?
Man, it's Jameis Winston. I didn't see that. If Jaden Daniels isn't,
I love,
you know,
that Jameis pulled that
in the
off.
World. Yeah, like, if we ever not see the Hail Mary, we're all talking about Jameis all week. I hadn't really thought of it like that, JP, with the letdown games and the Baltimore Ravens. Got to be concerning. I think we all kind of were getting carried away with this Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry combination, and justifiably so. I mean, both are unlike anything at their positions, and Henry still has a lot of juice left. I'm sure the Cowboys wish they could have a mulligan there and maybe make a pitch for him. I tend to think that they'll still be right there at the end of the year. You kind of give a really good team a pass a couple times, but, you know, that is – to lose to the Raiders and the Browns, two of the worst teams in the NFL, you got to dock them for it. And I thought the Bengals might be coming on. They get smashed by Philly. The AFC was supposed to be loaded. I mean, we were supposed to look at this conference and say, holy heck, who's getting left out of the 44% club in the playoffs? And everybody gets a pizza party in today's NFL. Half the teams make it. And we're wondering who's going to get left out. You're looking at it now, there's what, two or three teams that just seem ready to win a Super Bowl right now. And even the Chiefs, who are undefeated, have all sorts of issues. Definitely a shock to just see the conference so wide open.
Where do the Bills fit in all of it? And the Texans, but I know your boots on the ground in Buffalo.
I think the Bills are in good shape. Now, their schedule has been a little softer of late, but still, to go into Seattle, you know, that can feel like the edge of the earth when you take that flight, and to just put an absolute hurting on the Seahawks like they did. I think they've consciously tried to evolve on offense, get more physical. I mean, James Cook has been such an upgrade from what they've had at running back. The offensive line is just bullying teams. And Josh Allen has been Josh Allen, and it hasn't been turning the ball over. Now, I think everybody expected it to take a little bit of time for Keon Coleman and some of these receivers to kind of work their way in. They trade for Amari Cooper after a really rough two-game stretch. But it seems like Keon Coleman, things are already kind of clicking for him. I thought it might take till December for him to really ascend and be somebody that warrants 7-8 targets a game. You know, he had a drop in Seattle. Other than that, I mean, what a monster. The touchdown over 6'4", Tariq Woolen in the end zone. Taps him on the helmet, and it's the blocks that you got to love. I mean, he threw a guy into the bench on the sideline. He took down Woolen off the line of scrimmage on another play. This is somebody that kind of feeds into this philosophical shift on offense. So the offense is fine. Josh Allen's an MVP candidate. The question always is in Buffalo, how will the defense perform in January against the best of the best? Because statistically, it's about as ugly as it gets for Sean McDermott and the Bills. In that moment, I think everybody here in Western New York just wants to hit that simulate to January button because nothing really matters until then.
Yeah, I think the Ravens and the Bills have landed in the same spot, and specifically for Allen and Lamar. Like, until they're holding a Lombardi, they're just going to be seen as not quite good enough. And whether that's fair and quarterback wins should or shouldn't be a stat, like I know all that stuff. But until one of those two is holding a trophy and one of them beats Mahomes, they're going to be viewed as not as good. That's just the reality of it.
And it's especially painful in Buffalo because, I mean, this was actually, I believe it was the first story that I had it go along when we launched back in 2020. I mean, Terry Pegula, the team's owner, he loved Patrick Mahomes before anybody. I mean, I'm talking September, October of his last year at Texas Tech. He's watching this guy on film saying, I want that. This guy is going to be a star. And usually when owners have a notion, i.e. Jerry Jones, it doesn't work out. And here's the owner of the Buffalo Bills.
Jimmy Haslam was all in on Johnny Football. Overall.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Jerry wanted Johnny. And Steven was actually right in that case, talked him out of it. But, you know, I think that he didn't want to be Jerry Jones on draft day. He had just hired Sean McDermott, had given him final say. Sean's coming in, you know, he wants to kind of implement, you know, his bigger picture plan for the team. So they trade out of that 10th overall pick. They hand it to Kansas City. They hand Patrick Mahomes to Kansas City. And here's the player that they just can't get past that owns Sean McDermott in the playoffs. You can't even make it up. I mean, these fans here have been through hell. I mean, we're talking generations, right? Four straight Super Bowl losses and the 17-year playoff drought. Now this, is this year going to be different? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think psychologically it could. They let go a lot of players who have been around for those crushing playoff losses. And I sat down with Brandon Beanie and pointed that, like, you're going into that game next time. These guys don't have the same scars. I think there could be something to that. But again, we won't know until they get to that game again.
Ty, this is fun, man. Let's do it again maybe after Thanksgiving or so. Check up on what's going to happen next.
Hey, man, would love to. Any day, anytime, JP. Thanks for having me.
All right, give him a follow. It's Tyler Dunn from GoLongTD.com. Ty Dunn, D-U-N-N-E, if you want to give him a follow on social. We got to have a conversation about expectations. 12:45, do not miss Wendy Knows Sports. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fam. BYT. Time to have a serious conversation where you're looking, right? There's different ways to account for these things. But according to playoffstatus.com, the Commanders now have the fourth highest chance of making the playoffs in the entire NFL, just of making the playoffs. 81% chance they make the playoffs. And it's not hard to think about it. They've got 6 wins already. They only had 4 all last year. That means they got 9 games left. If you get to 9 wins, you almost always are going to make the playoffs. So they could go 3-6 down the stretch and probably make the playoffs in the expanded wild card. According to this playoff status thing, 81% chance of making the first round. 49% chance of making the divisional round. 27% chance of making it to the NFC title game. And, I mean, hell, just because these chances exist, this has Washington at a 13% chance of making the Super Bowl and a 6% chance of winning the Super Bowl. I mean, it's for... That's pretty damn incredible. The thing I find really interesting is that Vegas still has the Eagles favored to win the NFC East. I don't really... If you've watched these two teams... I understand that some of them is... Some of this is... Like, based on how teams have performed in the past because it's based on where people will bet, right? Like, you're probably still just getting more money on Philly. But that said, if you've watched the two teams, and I know that Philly looked good against the Bengals. That's a good win. How do you figure? Just eye test, and if you're colorblind, so the jersey colors don't matter. If you're not looking at past success, how do you figure Philly's better? I find that one hard to believe. Just look at Commanders are 4-0 at home. They have a plus 69 point differential. Get your mind out of the gutter, Jeff. Plus 69. They are third in the NFL in points scored. They are 10th in points allowed. Their defense is playing well all of a sudden. Eagles are just a game behind them. The Eagles are 10th in points allowed, 7th in points allowed, 10th in points scored. So the Eagles are starting to have some real balance. The only thing that makes me nervous about the Eagles is when they slumped is when they didn't have A.J. Brown on the field. And if you think about the Niners, when they struggle is when Debo misses games and how different they are when Debo's in the game. And I think there's legitimate questions about Philly's defense, their pass defense particularly, but they spent a bunch of draft picks on the secondary, and they drafted the kid Quinyon Mitchell. I think he was their first rounder, right? He was out of the small school, like Eastern Michigan or something. And I remember Saban said that was the kid I wanted more than anybody, and it was he couldn't get it done in NIL, and the kid wanted to stay at Toledo. He was the, 18th pick or so, 22nd overall pick. He's been really good. And now that Cooper DeJean, who is the pick the Eagles took when Washington traded back, Cooper DeJean missed a bunch of time early, didn't look right early. He's starting to look right now. They've got DeJean playing in the slot. The linebacker Bond has played really well. They're starting to have some pieces defensively. N'Kobe Dean is a linebacker I loved for Washington coming out of Georgia a few years ago. They didn't take him because, they thought they had it figured out with you-know-who. I don't know that Philly is as good as they've been because I think Jalen Hurts is turning the ball over more, but all of a sudden Jalen has quieted down in the turnover department. That's going to be a dog of a game. 3 weeks, Thursday night, in at the link. Washington, this next stretch, there's no chill for Washington maybe until Tennessee, first weekend of December. These next four games, at the Giants, Steelers at home, short turnaround. To take on both Pennsylvania teams within 4 days, pretty damn tough because those are two pretty physical football teams. And you got to turn that around right away, basically. And then you get the Cowboys at home, and the Cowboys will come limping in here. Who knows what the hell is going to happen in Dallas? Dallas is as close to the old Kyle Shanahan, we might not even be alive next week, as any organization in the NFL. We're going to learn a lot about Washington in the next four. If there are folks that think Washington's a fraud, depending how the next month goes, nobody's going to be saying that. Right? By the time we all eat turkey on Thanksgiving, we're going to know exactly what this team is. And if you can get to, they've got five before the bye here, right? You're 6-2 now. If you can go 3-2 over the next five and you get to the bye at 9-4, Lanville, then you start looking at some serious odds. Honestly, even if you get there at 8-5, you're a playoff team, but that means you've lost some games in the division, most likely, and you maybe have a clearer idea of where you stack up. But to me, 9-4 at the bye, and you're starting to wonder what you have planned in late January, and that ski trip, or that trip down to Florida for some sunshine, might be putting that on hold. When we come back, Wendy Knows Sports. On 106.7 The Fan and Billie Jean. Shout out to Wildcard Scotty. He brought in lunch. Extreme pizza. It's good. I thought the meatball sub was quite good. Wildcard Scotty shows up with a gang of food, so we get a million people in the studio just the way Landfill likes it. But most importantly, we got Wendy. Wendy runs promotions. I don't know if that's accurate, but we're going with that today. And Wendy's a huge sports fan. Hello, Wendy.
Hi.
Always good to see you.
Good seeing you, too.
Remember when you just carried me for no reason this morning?
I did?
Yeah, I offered you a shirt, and you're like, I already got shirts.
Oh, I don't need another T-shirt.
Yeah, well, regardless.
Wendy is in charge of promotions, which makes her one of Jeff's bosses.
Are you Jeff's boss? Could you fire Jeff, most importantly?
No.
Damn.
Wildcard Scotty is the person that has categorically killed Jeff every time we've had a rap battle. Hello, Wildcard. How do you do?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're good. Good. All right. So everybody's here. Are you familiar with Wendy Knows Sports, the segment? This might be my favorite segment of the week.
I am.
Okay. Wendy is in charge of promotions, major sports fan. Wendy, there have been three World Series games played over the last week. Three World Series games. Who's in the World Series?
The Yankees.
Yep.
And
don't look for help. Don't look for help.
Oh. And the Dodgers.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Do you know who's leading the World Series? It's the World Series. And it's LA versus New York.
The Dodgers.
They are. They're up 3-0. They can close it out tonight. Who do you think would be named MVP? Who do you think the Dodgers' best player is?
I don't know. Even know anybody that plays for the Dodgers.
Now, listen. This dude is not only a star. This is going to be a big hint. Not only a star here, but also a massive star in another country.
That's like everybody in baseball.
He's a massive star in Japan. We really need a camera on Wendy for these segments.
I have not a clue.
He's a massive star here and in Japan and was part of a pretty big gambling controversy to start the season.
I don't have that one.
All right, pick one of three.
Okay.
One of these names is the Dodgers' best player.
Okay.
Hideki Matsuyama, Shohei Ohtani, or Hideo Nomo?
Two.
Shohei.
Yeah.
Bang! Got it. Well done. Now, can you name any Yankees players?
Nope.
Can you name who was the Nationals' best player? Because I know you work for them on occasion. Who was the Nationals' best player when they won the World Series?
When they won the World Series?
Yeah. It was only 5 years ago.
It was.
He was a very young man then.
Was it Harper?
Nope. He had left. Thank goodness.
Oh, before the World Series?
He left a year before, and they won because he left because he stinks.
Was it Soto?
Yeah! Soto's on the Yankees.
Oh.
Yeah. Have you heard of Aaron Judge?
No.
Well, he can't get a hit, so maybe you don't need to. All right, I think we're doing pretty good. Did you watch the Commanders' Hail Mary?
Yes, sort of.
What
it was
that?
On the TV.
Yeah, that's how much
people
watch.
And I was in the room.
Do you?
And I heard everybody scream.
Who's the quarterback that threw that ball? Surely we got this.
Jaden Daniels.
Yes, okay. Do you know who caught that pass?
No.
He's going to be on with Grant and Danny today.
Oh.
3 o'clock.
Is he coming in studio or on the phone? Oh.
Just a phoner. Sorry to disappoint you. Now, if he was coming in studio, would you have pretended you knew who he was to get a photo with him?
No.
Okay. If I give you I'll give you his first or last name if you can think you can come up with the other one. What would you prefer?
Last name.
Brown.
Oh, God. Everybody's last name is Brown.
Just like everybody in baseball is a multinational star. The first name is a biblical character, if that helps.
A biblical character?
A biblical character.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. But this is a very well-known biblical story.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, arguably the most well-known biblical story. Like, little kids know that. This is probably little kids' favorite biblical story.
Noah?
Yeah! You're on fire today, Wendy. Wildcard Scotty, do you have a sports question for Wendy? She's impossible to stump.
Her
her eyes and her facial expressions, they're amazing.
Okay, wild card Scotty making it weird. Landfill, do you have a sports question for Wendy?
I'm just in awe. I just want to learn. She clearly knows so much.
I think you've gotten them all right. Last night was Monday. We always do this on Tuesday. Last night was Monday Night Football. Did you happen to watch any of that game?
No.
Do you know the two teams that were playing?
No.
They are iconic organizations in the National Football League.
Still don't know.
What are the two?
The Steelers?
Yes. Jeff, are you just cheating?
Both.
Okay. All right. Steelers are from what city?
Pittsburgh.
And what are the two teams from New York?
The Jets and the Giants.
Boom. Giants, Steelers. You got this.
Oh, okay.
There is a quarterback in last night's game that is married to a pop star. Do you know who that quarterback is?
Quarterback that's married to a pop star?
Is pop fair?
R&B singer.
Perhaps R&B singer is more accurate.
Russell Wilson?
Yeah! You're on fire, Wendy. Have you been to any Wizards or Caps games yet?
I've never been to a Caps game, period. Ever.
Ever?
Mm-mm.
Don't you work there sometimes?
Yes, I work in the box office.
And you've never just, like, strolled the 40 feet to go look at the ice?
Like, we have to look at the arena before the start of each event. But no, I've never actually sat in the bowl for a Caps game.
Would you like to? I think they play tonight.
I work tonight.
Where?
At Cap One.
Yeah, so go to the game. I think you could very easily go to the game tonight.
We'll see.
Okay, the Commanders are now 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many games they play the whole season? They've played 8.
No.
It's between. It used to be 16 games.
I was and thinking they changed 17 it. In my yeah, head.
17. You got it. You got this. Do you want to give us a Commanders season record prediction?
No.
Why not?
No.
All right. They have a bye in 5 games.
Okay.
So that will be 8 plus 5, 13 games. Give me a bye week prediction.
Oh, where they're going to.
What their record will be.
I don't know.
You know, look behind you. Chris Russell's jealous you're taking his airtime.
Russell is talking.
He's talking or eating. It's pretty common.
He's talking.
13 games. Just tell me what you think. They've already won 6.
They've already won 6?
Yes, they have.
So the bye week will be the...
Week 14 bye.
I don't know. They'll be at 10, I guess.
10-3?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Wendy.
Okay.
If they get to 11, B. Mitch has to wear a tutu.
That's factual. If they get to 11, B. Mitch has to wear a tutu.
Did you guys really make that bet with him?
Could the station provide money for a tutu?
That I can't promise you.
Make it a promotional thing. Go get with a good tutu company.
We can make him a tutu.
All right. There you have it. Wendy, thank you. I love your love of sports.
Thank you.
Love Wendy. Nikki Jabala joins us at 1:30.